Good morning, church. Good to be with y'all today. I know it's probably been a rough week for some. It's probably been a miracle week for some. And I believe God's word has something for everybody. And I just want to present to you guys Apostle Paul. That's one of my favorite writers in the book. And I'd like to start out with Acts 9. And a lot of us know the story. Some of us don't, about his journey on the road to Damascus. And it's very, very important to our faith. And today I just pray that what's being presented will impact your heart, will renew your mind, and will help you to continue to build your faith in Christ. So we're going to start with Acts 9:1-2, and get us a good foundation started and paint this picture for y'all that I have. Verse 1 says, Saul kept threatening to murder the Lord's disciples. He went to the chief priests and asked him to write letters of authorization to the synagogue leaders in the city of Damascus. Saul wanted to arrest any man or woman who followed the way of Christ and imprison them in Jerusalem. So here we already can see Paul, formerly known as Saul, his evil intent. You can already see, plain as day, that no relationship with Christ, trying to kill off the Christians, trying to do away with Christianity. So let's remember this, because Paul's going to represent something huge here. And if we all know God, there's a saying out there that we hear a lot, that, you know, with God, he can hit a target with a crooked arrow. And Paul represents that crooked arrow. We represent that crooked arrow. But God has a plan for everybody. And his word is our ultimate plan. His word is going to get us to where we need to be. And I just love God's word and how it all connects. So we're going to continue on to verse 3-4. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I love this scripture simply because, you know, as Christians, we have that relationship with Christ, or we're supposed to have that relationship with Christ. But here in this scripture, God calls out Saul's name twice. So that tells you how much God knows us. No, he capital it with Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he comes back, well, who is this? Who is this? And he goes on to say, I'm Jesus. This is Jesus. And one thing that I love about this scripture is God will put us in a position where we have to submit to his authority. It's been plenty of times where, you know, we on our high horse sometimes. There's been plenty of times that, you know, we think we're doing right. And one thing about Paul, excuse me, he honestly thought he was doing right. You know, Paul was a Jew, and he was living out his belief to the fullest. So if anybody was trying to represent Christ, he was trying to get rid of. So Paul, well, Saul at the time, was living out his belief to the fullest. But here we know that there's a transition that's about to happen. And that same enthusiasm that he had going into killing Christians is now going to be representing the word. And it's crazy how God uses that. And we're going to continue on. Like I said in verse 4, how God called his name out, Saul, Saul. I'm just showing you how much God already knows us, how much he really already loved us, even though we have nothing to do with him, even though we don't care to represent his name. And a lot of us say it, but our heart says something different. Our actions speak differently. One thing I like to point out here as well is we are with Christ. And though Paul was persecuting Christians, but Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So that right there should tell us how much God loves us and how much we are connected with him because we accepted what he did on the cross. So yeah, Paul was persecuting Christians, but in reality, he was doing it to Jesus himself. And it was on my heart as I was reading these scriptures, and one thing just come to me, and I want to share with you guys, is like how we have to be careful of what we say and do to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because how many of us know if we go on an attack on our brother and sister in Christ, how that's really self-inflicted wounds? I mean, spiritually looking at it, you don't want to take a knife and continue stabbing yourself. So please, y'all, let's be careful. Be careful how we come at our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be careful the words we use, the our actions, because we are here to build up the kingdom of God. And it's hard to build up the kingdom of God if we continue to hit on ourselves and we continue to take one part of the body and want to leave that part of the body alone. You can't operate. You know, our body has many members. You know, one body, but many members. But if I want to cut off the finger, how am I going to hold something? Or if I want to cut off my thumb, how am I going to hold something? If I cut off a part of the foot, how am I going to walk? So we got to think about how we're acting amongst one another and make sure that we're building up the kingdom and not tearing down the kingdom. We have to be kingdom-minded. We have to be kingdom-minded. The one thing that I love about this story on the road to Damascus in verse 5 through 6, it says, "Saul asked, 'Who are you, sir?' The person replied, 'I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Get up. Go into the city and you'll be told what you should do.'" God gave Saul a command when Saul wasn't connected to him. So why would God give him a command when Saul really didn't even know who this man was? And that one thing that sticks out to me, how God will overlook our crookedness. He look at us at our full potential. You know, we look at others as what they present. Some people look like they can't add to our life or they can't add to society. Sometimes we write people off. Sometimes we don't want nothing to do with others. But God don't see that. God sees us as in our full potential. So he already gave Paul a commandment while he was on the ground. And sometimes we have to be humbled by God, and this is what this part represents to me, is how it's best to be humble than let God humble you. Because Paul got knocked to the ground, and on top of that, he already embarrassed, and then he get blinded. So I be looking, I'm like, man, I'd rather much be a humble person than let God humble me, because a lot more going to come with it when God humbles you. So you might want to just go ahead and work on that humility right now and get it over with. But one thing I also learned within this scripture about getting up is even though Saul at the time wasn't completely converted, he gave obedience to God by getting up. And then when he gave that obedience, it activated God's power. And that's what I want to share with y'all today as well, is there's a lot of things out here, guys, that we can overcome. There's a lot of situations that we can get past. But we have to be obedient. When God tells us to do something, we have to do it. If God tells us to go to a certain place, you got to go there. If he say to say something, you have to say it. Why? Because there's some power behind that when you be obedient. And we gotta know that, y'all. We have to know that. There's power in obedience. It activates God power. Because if we wasn't obedient, then God's power, it wouldn't be activated. You see what I'm saying? It'll be there like stale water. Going around circles, ain't knowing what to do. When God been done told you, you need to go do this, you need to go do that. Well, I ain't got the money. God been done told you, cut that cable off. Hey, instead of cutting off the cable, well, let me drop it down to 100 channel. You can't do that. God wants you free. Cut that cable off. And I'm talking to myself. So I know what I gotta do Monday. Keeping the internet though. But yeah, we gotta be obedient. You know, Christ showed Paul grace and mercy and forgiveness when he was on that ground. He saw something in Paul that was gonna tremendously change how we view Christianity today. He set that mark. And then God started him on his new journey. And what next, I want to bring in the book of Philemon. Philemon is, it's one chapter, 26 verses. And it's something, like I said earlier, God's word, everything is important. Everything is important. And we don't hear a lot out of this book. But I was like, God, something's in it. Something's in it. So I did what I probably shouldn't have did. I went call Jim, messing with him when he trying to chill. So we got the reading, and then we shared each other's thoughts, and I was like, you know what? That's where the connection lies. So we're going to look at Philemon. We're going to go to verse 10, read through 11. If you don't know much about Philemon, basically, Philemon, a believer, he had slaves, and in this book, one of his slaves, Onesimus, stole from him, tried to flee, go to Rome, get in contact with Paul. Paul's in prison, doing what Paul do best, make disciples. So within that time, Onesimus gets with Paul, converts him, become a Christian. Paul writes Philemon and just say, hey, I got Onesimus here, and he's better than what he used to be. He's better than what he used to be. He's useful. So we're going to go into the scripture. Well, I'm going to start with 9, y'all. So however, I would prefer to make an appeal on the basis of love. I, Paul, as an old man and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my child Onesimus, which is useful now. I became his spiritual father here in prison. Once he was useless to you, but now he is very useful to both of us. And what this painted a perfect picture of how we have to be kingdom-minded and get our mind and our attention off of ourselves. Because we do that a lot. It's about me, 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 and nobody else. And even on this side of the cross. And I catch myself doing that a lot. A lot of my prayer time, I'm asking God to cover this, cover that. Do this, do that. But God look at me like, what you do for me? What about my house? What about my kingdom? Word of God says, first you seek the kingdom of God, then all things else will be added to you. So Paul here was kingdom-minded. And this is what he was trying to pitch to Philemon. Let's be kingdom-minded here. This guy once stole from you, but now he's in a position where he can impact the city. He's in a position now he could come into the church and proclaim the name of Christ. He's no longer that guy that ran from you. And verse 11 also represents the omnipresence of God. The reason why I say that, because if you can remember, on the road to Damascus, God called up Ananias because Paul was blinded. You know, Ananias was scared of it. He was a Christian. He knew who Saul was. He knew Saul was coming out to kill off the Christians, but what did Ananias do? He was obedient. He was obedient. So in the midst of Paul praying to God, he got a vision of someone coming to take the scales off his eyes, to make him see again. And it was Ananias. And how many times have we been in a position to where we couldn't fix our own situation, that we had to ask somebody? We had to reach out. But how are you going to reach out if you don't have a family to do it with, or you don't have that connection? It's not possible. So God, he hears our cry. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I believe Paul was seeking God. I mean, blinded for 3 days, was given a commandment by Jesus, the very same God that he was trying to persecute. He needed the help. And there's times in our life, guys, we're going to need some help. There's times in our life we won't have the answer. Everything we try to do, it won't work. We're going to have to reach out. So I'm challenging the ones in here that don't know Christ as their Savior. Get a part of a team that's a winning team. Get a part of a team that have a God to call on any time of the day. Get on a team to where there's a word out there for whatever you're going through. Get on that team, because the world can't offer you nothing. Nothing but death. And I ain't always talking about physical, but spiritual death. They got great ideas, but they ain't got the main thing, and the main thing is Christ. As long as we can plug Christ into our situation, we will always come out on top. You do it the world's way, you're going to continue to go around a circle. Why? Because it's going to be about you. You put Christ in and it can't be about you. It's always going to be about Christ and his word, because his word stands. The Bible says he's the beginning and the end. I'm going to go to verse 17. It says, if you think of me as your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. Our Paul promised to pay it back. That's a perfect picture of Christ and what he did on that thing there. Died on that cross. First of all, took the walk with the cross on our back. And I say this all the time, because this thing is so powerful. You know, he decided to come here on this earth, get whipped, beaten, spit on, mocked, talked about, pissed in his side, was given, vinegar to drink. And he did that for us. For people that half-heartedly sometimes that even want to talk to him on a regular, he did that for us. Why? Because he loved us. And that's the same thing that Paul is presenting here to Philemon, is, hey, I will pay that back. Like Christ did that for him. He did it for us. And by Philemon being obedient, instantly he was able to impact the kingdom, because that's what it's about. He had to forget about what Onesimus done by stealing from him. This right here, by him forgiving him, was going to impact the kingdom. and drive away all selfishness. And I had a few, I had a situation happen this week, and I told it to the 9 o'clock service, and I want to share with y'all. You know, hopefully, I won't cry a lot this time, because man, it was powerful. But the other night, it was I was really tired. I was really tired. It was getting late. I was trying to get the girls to bed. Me and Tony trying to share that. You know, we got three girls, JC, Amory, and Maylee, 7, 2, and 5 months. So like I said, I was really tired that night, y'all. I was. And I was just ready for them to go to bed. So you got JC, daddy, and daddy. I'm like, just get upstairs and go to bed. Just go to bed. And she kept on. I'm like, go to bed. Go to bed. So she went upstairs, you know, Amber, follow her sister like she do. Get up there, and I walk downstairs, walk through the house. My wife was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I was just being a butthole to Jason. Like, for real. And so I sat downstairs for a minute. So I go upstairs to, I was going to talk to Jason. Well, of course, she's asleep. But Amory was up. It gets me every time, so excuse me. So I sat on Jason's bed, and I was going to apologize. But Amory looked over, a two-year-old now. I said, Daddy, we got to pray. So that high horse I was on, I got knocked off, because that's all JC was wanting to do. But I was so consumed of what I wanted that I forgot about what was really important. So God has a way of knocking you off your high horse and then humbling you down. But I didn't have to go that route if I would have took it upon myself the first time. So I think about that all the time. I mean, God, you send a two-year-old, you tell a grown man we're supposed to pray before we go to bed, and that's all my seven-year-old was wanting to do. But I didn't care about that at the time. I was being very selfish. I was ready to go to bed. And I just thank God for how He connects everything together. I thank God how He takes some of the simplest word and it can make an impact in our life. And that's what I want to present to you guys today is God can use anything. He can use anyone to do His will. We can't automatically count people out all the time. We got to see some people at their full potential. Because God saw us at our full potential and continue to see us in our full potential. And I want to share that with you guys. Hopefully that brings some encouragement. Hopefully it continue to build your relationship with Christ. And, you know, I look at myself as that crooked arrow. And that target is the people out here that don't know Christ. God can use you if you let Him. We got to let Him, y'all. Sometimes we hold back on a lot of things, and it's one thing that I'm holding back on, and I know that I'm going to have to do it one day. You know, part of me, I don't want to go back to my former church. I don't. God's been pressing for a long time that I need to go back and share a word. I know that time's coming, just like in Anemus. He got him ready. to go back to Philemon. Why? To be impactful. To share the gospel. To get him off that sideline, to go to work. A lot of us in here, God's been calling us to do some things, but yet we may stay on the sideline, we stay in the pews. It's a lot of work out here, y'all. It's a lot of work out here. And we got to be on it till the day Christ come back. So don't count nobody out. Don't count nobody out. Because with prayer and with time with God, that person going to impact you eventually. So I do want to offer this to the ones that don't know Christ. Please accept them as your Lord and Savior, because you have a huge team. You got a huge family. God can use you, and he will use you if you let him. Paul was the worst of the worst. He was killing off Christians and then wrote almost half of the Bible. So you cannot tell me that you can't be used. That excuse is gone. One thing the devil likes to do, and Jim tells us a lot, he'll get you busy. A lot of us in some stuff that we just need to let go because it ain't doing nothing for us. When God can be using you in another spot to be building up his kingdom, and he will still take care of whatever needs to be taken care of in your house. Ain't that right, Nick Sellers? So, if you're not a Christian today, please join our team. You have nothing but life to gain. Because Jesus said, if you lose your life, you will gain your life. So, even if you, look, if you don't want to walk up through the aisles, that's fine. If you want to wait till after the service, that's fine. But I do not want nobody in here that's not following Christ to walk through those double doors or these side doors and not have a changed mindset before you leave and not get connected with Christ. Because you may be on a high horse, and then when your high you get knocked off your high horse, like I told 9 o'clock, that might be the last time you're on your back. And that's the God honest truth. We are a blessed people. There's a lot of people that didn't make it to 18. There's a lot of people that didn't make it from their prom. There's a lot of people that didn't get to see their child go to the prom. So nothing is promised, y'all. So please, if you don't know Christ, come to him today. That's about all I have for y'all. And I pray that it was impactful. I pray that you guys would continue to grow your relationship with Christ. Continue to reach out to the lost. Don't forget where you come from, because God can use anybody at any time to get his glory. And that's one thing he will do. He will get his glory. So Lee and the gang can come out. Close us out. Appreciate it.